Friday night, March 25th. Dexter Douglas with you. Time for Living in Sin. Good evening. Like I said, this is Dexter Douglas. This is Living in Sin. This is the pilot. In the studio with me, I have three very strange characters. Why don't you guys introduce yourselves?
Well, I'm Largo.
Hi.
How y'all doing? I enjoy long walks along the beach, starlit nights, fluffy little puppy dogs.
Great.
And I'm the boy, and I'm very frightened now.
Why, this is Digital Ron, and I'm made extra crispy.
Yes, for the next hour, we will be bringing you some of the best crap you've ever heard in your life. So stay tuned. Right now, we want to start off with a song. Largo, why don't you introduce the song?
Okay, this is a song from a band called Clairvoyant, and the lead singer here, a lady named Victoria Lloyd, could just completely own me simply with the power of her voice.
Own you.
I keep in mind, I'm the sci-fi fantasy geek in the room here. I'm about three steps away from technologically illiterate, so I don't even know what the hell I'm doing here. But anyway, the track we're going to listen to is one called Pieces. It's off their third album, and just let it rip.
Here we go.
You lie. 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 You l
We're back.
Like waking up from a pleasant dream.
No, we didn't really go anywhere.
No. Okay. Let's do some news. I don't have any tracks for news. I don't have anything cool for news. But I do have some. Now for LIS news. This comes from Scott News. Scotsman.com.
Breathe, Dex.
Breathe. Government can censor freedom of information releases. This was written by David Barrett, a PA Home Affairs correspondent. The government is entitled to censor documents released under Freedom of Information Act. If a document to be released contains information which the government believes is entitled to withhold, the relevant parts can be retracted or blacked out. One of the reasons why the material could be retracted is because it's related to formulation of government policy, which the acts allow ministers to keep under wraps. Legal advice between Attorney General, the government's senior law officer, and other ministers is also traditionally exempt, argues the government.
Okay, check me here. Censoring information that is supposed to be released under the Freedom of Information Act kind of really just totally screws the whole intent.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense at all, because who's breathing into the mic? I'm just going to say it right now.
Look at how far away my mic is, dude. It ain't me.
I think it's Digital Ron over there having his beard rubbing.
It's Digi Ron.
Because I think it's sexy.
What do you think about censored information? Like, let me show you what happens when I censor information. I unplug Ron's microphone.
Well, you can't do that.
Guess what?
Guess,
you did it.
Wow. I just censored information.
You did. My
You're
information.
A freaking tyrant. Congratulations.
Put me back on.
Oh, we gotta edit.
Oh, help me.
Quote, material has been disclosed by the security services in the interest of accountability. This is an order. Okay, news is over. let's go to the good news. Let's go. Okay. Don't send. Information is supposed to be free. Anyway, and by the way, this is being broadcast at Nauticon, so props to everybody at Nauticon for being there and saving the money to stay, because we're not there.
Yeah,
because
we suck.
Nauticon, it's not just for fishermen anymore.
Well, it shouldn't be for fishers. If there are fishers at Nauticon, feel free to kick their asses, unless it's Long John Silver's. We'll get into that story later.
I mean, Nauticon is pretty cool. I mean, you know, they have all sorts of fetish gear there.
You don't even know what.
So I think you're getting confused. Nauticon.
Nauticon. Yeah, okay. Anyway, how about this one? How about Super Smack will kill addicts?
Super Crack, you put it in your eye.
This comes March 25th. That's today.
Yeah.
A deadly batch of highly pure heroin is at the streets of Scotland. One man has died after taking the Super Smack, and it is feared that many more are at risk. Street heroin can just be 4 to 6% pure. Is that right? Is it 4 to 6%, you guys?
Hold on a second. Let me go check my vials.
But this drug is more than 4 times stronger. One experienced user said, "This stuff will kill. I have been smoking it for years, and one tenner bag put me right on my back and out." The drugs were brought to Scotland over the weekend by an Asian supplier originally from Manchester. He is now operating on the south side of Glasgow. Isn't that near here?
No.
Isn't there a town called... Never mind. where Alan McGregor was found dead on Sunday night. The 38-year-old Dingwall... No, 38-year-old. The 38-year-old of Dingwall, Easter Ross, had injected a 10-pound bag of the Super Smack. And I mean pound like...
As
British,
in the money, not
as
in
money,
like,
not as
yeah.
money.
Like, dude, I got this bag.
No shit, he injected 10 pounds of heroin and he died? Ooh, surprise.
That's new. He was found. Anyway, it's a Super Smack, huh? That's great.
Look, up in the sky, it's a bird, it's a plane.
And if you do Super Crack,
Super Smack,
you're only help aiding the terrorists.
There's a way to kill the conversation.
Yeah, there's a way to, if you do radio shows and suck, you're helping terrorists.
We're in trouble.
Oh, God.
Okay, here's one. Chocolate crosses annoy Catholic diocese. I pulled this off of FARC.com, and the actual headline read, Chocolate crosses will only kill Count Chocula. And this is why we pulled this off.
Well, actually, I enjoyed it because, I enjoy tweaking the Catholics. But
yeah, well, yes. A new symbol of Christianity that sits atop church steeples, dangles from necks, and hangs on walls is finding a new home in the mouths of the faithful.
We will avoid the obvious jokes about things being put in the mouths of the faithful.
In addition to the usual chocolate Easter bunnies, candy maker Russell Stover is offering milk chocolate crosses this year. The chocolate cross is adorned with a floral bouquet and is filled with caramel. Caramel or caramel?
Caramel.
Caramel. Made of goat's milk. Popular in Latin America. Oh, they're apparently, this is a focus on the Hispanic market. This is wrong in every way.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, if you go and you take a look at, like, the whole communion thing, though, I mean, a brilliant marketing opportunity, you know, awaits these people. Like, think of it. Like, you already have, like, you know, the host, which is, like, this wafery sort of bit. So what we do is we take and combine the chocolate cross with the wafer.
And you have a Twix bun.
You have a cross made from Twix.
It's like the holy equivalent of a Kit Kat bar.
The Twix. The Jesus Twix. Give Chew it over break. With a Twix. Contemplating murder.
What would Jesus do?
Yeah. He'd eat a Twix. Chew this chocolate, my son. Your penance is to eat macadamia nuts. Father, I'm allergic to macadamia nuts.
Exactly.
Well, I mean...
And so Christ said at the Last Supper,
"Eat me."
Anyway, in
well, we're all going straight.
In reference to Catholics here, I mean, just as long as this is the only part of the church that's going in little kids' mouths.
Already made that joke, son.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh shit.
Okay, on to the next bits. Who wants to? What are we doing next? Are we doing Star Wars next?
Looks
look at my show notes.
I thought we were going to pimp my blog first.
Oh, yeah, we were going to pimp your blog.
Wait, I want to keep on talking about Catholic Church.
We're done with that.
That's passé. The Pope is very sick, by the way.
Really? Yeah, I hadn't heard.
Yeah, he's a feeble old guy. So.
Okay, that was sarcasm.
Yeah, I caught it.
I won't say where you caught it. A little bit of penicillin, clear that right up.
Sure, you got to put cream on that every day.
Don't forget to shave all the hair off. So anyway, my blog would be www.deadjournal.com/users/Largo621. This is where you go if you want to know way more than anybody really should about my personal life. And we're looking at it right now.
Yeah, it looks nice. And you've got these great little icons on here.
Oh, my God. Is that a hamster?
I think it's raccoon.
What is that guy doing?
What was that video game with the raccoon? Was it Sly?
What?
Yeah, the one where he's stealing all kind of crap.
Wait, there's Pocky and Rocky.
Including our good ideas for video games, including raccoons.
That wouldn't be Kyle and a Canadian lumberjack, would it?
Kids, this is an opportunity for you. We're having a competition to see who can come up with the best video game involving a raccoon.
You can submit your ideas either to my blog or the address we'll give you later.
Yeah, we'll give you the address to the show later.
So I really don't have much more to say about it other than hey, it's there, and I'm hoping to actually get some readership out of this, maybe a whole two or three people.
Yeah, and I think that you need to talk more about the show.
Well,
seeing as we just started it, it'd be really tough.
Well, there is some things to talk about. Well, there are some things.
Well, yeah, I mean, like
my horrible English.
Yeah, horrible English. And the fact that we actually tried this last night and half of the show ended up getting eaten.
Yeah, because my... Oh, I'm not even going to get into it. Anyway, I lost half of
we
the
We are new MP3. To this digital medium. Yeah. There is no spoon.
You can actually... If for some reason that you want this in a physical format, send an email... And there may be a way I could put this on cassette or something.
God help you.
If for some reason you want this on another medium, let me know. I don't even know why you'd even be listening to this in the first place. But if you are, we're gonna take a vote here pretty soon to see who gets there. We're gonna do Russian roulette with see whose mic gets unplugged.
No. This is Survivor, man. Who's getting voted off
the mixer? Okay, let's do some.
I'd like to form an alliance with you.
Oh, my God. If you keep dropping docs, I am going completely unplugged.
There's a guy over there in the corner of the room. I like to call him.
He's your imaginary friend.
They taste wonderful.
So much editing, dude.
There's nothing like imaginary waffle. Friend.
There's only one person.
I'm sure you guys have drove the whole way here. And the way up here, you're thinking, you know what we're going to do? Wow. We're going to fuck with this show as much as we possibly can.
No.
Actually, I think he was quite perturbed the whole way up until we got here. But we're good now.
It seems like, why? Because of the show?
No, it was lack of sleep and schedule got blown up and we were supposed to be here about 2 o'clock.
And Flobos just continually.
Somebody replaced his breast milk with piss. I get it. All right.
Okay. Digital Ron apparently forgot to take his Ritalin before he came in.
And since this is the Matrix. Wait, it's not. You can't bend the rules of radio.
All right. The rule of radio club.
It's time for something. It's time for something much cooler than.
Popular video will kill me.
Here we go. I'm gonna kill the mics for this. Turn the volume down just a little bit here. Yes, that is the Imperial Death March. Or wait, it's the Imperial March. And there's a reason why we're playing it. And what is that reason, Largo?
Well, the reason is because I'm going to start ranting about Star Wars now.
Okay, so kids, get your tape recorders ready, because you're going to get to hear a big, angry man. A big, angry geek of a man rant about
the thing we love to hate. We're not going to go all out because, well, there's a whole lot of venom I have stored up for George Lucas in particular and what he has done to my childhood obsession in general. But tonight we're just going to focus our little laser sword thing toward a particular bit called the Clone Wars. And, I had actually been, like an idiot that I am, been getting very into the whole Clone Wars thing as we've been going along here because, we got the cartoons, we got the comic books, we got the novels, and so far, they've been doing a very, very good job of keeping these things all pretty tightly wrapped together in continuity. They were cross-referencing one another, and everything fit. And, moreover, the quality had generally been pretty good, too. This stuff felt more like Star Wars than those heaping, steaming piles of feces that we call Episodes 1 and 2. But that all came to a crashing halt tonight. Because tonight, the final episode of the Clone Wars Volume 2 aired on Cartoon Network. And again, this is probably old news for you guys listening to this at Nauticon because it's been a while. But for me, the wound is still fresh and someone's pouring salt in it. Tonight, we got to see the cartoon version of Skywalker and Kenobi being somewhere completely different than the novel versions of Kenobi and Skywalker, who are occupying different spaces at the same time.
Explain that a little bit. If you could.
Okay, well, what we got is all of these things. There's a comic book miniseries called Obsession. There's the Clone Wars cartoon. And then there is the novel, Labyrinth of Evil, written by James Luceno. All of which are supposed to lead directly into the beginning of Episode 3. So they're all occupying the exact same frame of time. And there's actually events that are overlapping through all three of them, which would be the kidnapping of Supreme Chancellor Palpatine. And, like I said, in the novel, Kenobi and Skywalker are in one place. They're supposed to be, they were kind of led on a wild goose chase, chasing after Count Dooku, that's one of the worst names in history. But,
Darth Tyrannus.
Yeah,
Darth Tyrannus. With your incredibly short arms.
And in the cartoon, they're on a completely different planet chasing after General Grievous.
Is Tyrannus in the cartoon?
Yes, he
okay.
is.
Does he look, does he still have the home proctology kit?
Yes, he does. We call it the Jedi Pleasure Master 5000. But, yeah, I mean, again, this just, it's really not that tough, guys. Continuity is not that tough. You just make sure the same people are in the same place the same time that they're supposed to be, and life is good. But no, they screwed it all up, and now I'm getting angry. Because, you know, I'm an idiot. I knew in the back of my brain that this was, okay, calm down, speak English. I know that episode 3 is going to suck, despite the fact that the trailer looks awfully cool, and despite the fact that I've been enjoying most of the Clone Wars stuff, I'm just setting myself up for a fall. There is a little child in there somewhere inside me, and the police are still looking for him, that is, you know, holding out hope, against common sense, against anything rational in this universe, that I might be wrong, but I know I won't be.
So let me ask you this. So they have the cartoon, and they have these books, and I'm assuming that only people who are relatively hardcore fans are getting into this material. What are they going to do in the movie? For those of us like me, I haven't seen any of this material other than a couple of episodes, and I'm going to sit down at episode 3, and how are they going to explain this to me?
You've seen Star Wars movies before, right?
Oh, yes. I'm up to date in the movies.
Those big yellow letters that crawl up the screen that start out after a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away?
Right. So they're going to they could just completely bastardize everything that they've done in
comics. Well, they're
going to
give you the 30-second version.
Chancellor Palpatine was kidnapped, yada, yada, yada. They're not going to go into detail.
Is that okay? Do you really think that's okay, or do you think that's a cop-out? Do you think Lucas is trying? Let me say that.
Yes, I think he is trying. I don't think he's trying to
sell
what
a product.
He should be trying to do. He's okay, let's get to the central irony of the whole Star Wars thing here. We've got a story that at its heart, back in the day, before episodes 1 and 2, was essentially an anti-technology fable. We've got the farm boy who calls upon the awesome power of this energy field that is created and sustained by all living things, and he uses it to obliterate the biggest weapon of mass destruction ever created. And, well, we also got that little issue about a whole army of teddy bears who somehow managed to overthrow an occupation force that carry blasters and have armor, but that's beside the point. At its heart, it's an anti-technology fable. Humanity wins out over technology. We've managed to completely turn that on its ear in real life because episodes 1 and 2 are not about telling any kind of a story. They're not about humanity. They're about the digital filmmaking tricks. They're about Lucas pushing what he considers to be his art.
Midichlorians.
Don't even
science.
Go there.
Science!
Yeah. We've managed to take the metaphysical and turn it into something measurable.
Oh, we've been looking for that for years.
But before I manage to get myself worked up into a completely useless state, mayhaps we ought to move on to a different topic.
Yeah, let's talk about, let's see, what's next on the list? Video games, right? I dropped the doc.
You dropped the bomb.
Hey, all right, boy, do you have...
I think we have a mic out.
Yeah. That's
mine?
Yeah, your mic. It should be
there
out
you
now.
Go. I think you're better now.
Try it now. Okay. Yeah, this is bad radio. This is doing sound checks as we're...
Well, we can edit that out.
Yeah, we can.
Yeah.
Why? To this radio.
I didn't kill the mic.
Listening to this radio station is roughly the same as walking in on someone when they're going to the bathroom.
You might find something good. You might find something bad.
Okay. Oh, that MIDI is really short. Okay.
That's not surprising.
All right, boy. What do you want to talk about?
Jeez. I think for the most part, we're probably going to end up talking about this newfangled piece of technology I've got in my mitts here, the Sony PSP.
In your mitts.
Damn spankity. Basically, I was a complete dumbass and woke up about 2 hours before the early bird, you know, opening of the store to go get Joe pick this thing up. And I sat there because I figured, you know, if I don't go there and wait, there will be a line from God. And if I do go there and wait, nobody will show up. And that
if
was
we
the
had
case.
A line from God, would they be eating chocolate crosses?
Yes.
Yes.
And various other cross-shaped products. That
while they're doing Super Smack.
Exactly.
You would have to be on Super Smack in order to think it novel to buy one of
these
devices.
Here's an idea. The chocolate thing that they make out of, like, the host and the chocolate could be called a sweet Jesus.
Okay, back on topic.
Back on topic. This device will set you back about $250 if you can get your hands on one.
I've actually... That's kind of funny, because I told Leroy today about you picking one up, and he said that the place that he works, which is one of the big warehouses that you have to have a membership to get into, is selling it for $300 and some.
They can go suck my floppy nutsack.
Well, yeah, that's just... But apparently you get, like... the graces of God with it.
Well, no,
this is like the God in Star Wars episode.
EB did have a similar similar package, and they were charging that similar price for it.
And a nice package it was.
It was indeed. Came with about two or three games in it. So, I mean, I can understand the price jump.
I'm surprised you didn't have to buy that, because that's generally EB's practice to...
milk you for as much as they can.
Yeah, to make you buy. They did it with the PS2.
Yeah, that's true. But, I mean, depending on who you know that works there... they're pretty good people. They can help you out.
So let's talk about the device. Why don't you fire it up
there? Fire that baby up.
We'll hold mics to it. We'll cross the street and hold some mics.
Yeah, I don't know if we actually heard that.
We bask in it.
I think you might have.
I heard it a little bit.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, I think I'm going to load up Spider-Man 2, which if you're lucky enough to get one of the first, what is it, million?
I don't know.
First million units, it came prepackaged with it.
How many different ways...
Do you need somebody to hold the microphone for you?
No, I can hold both at
the
same time. I've got two
hands
on it.
Is the boy going to find to have, like, phallic words used? So far, he's been, like, units.
Units, package.
Package.
Rod, scepter, staff.
Yeah, just get him out now.
Purple-headed warrior of love.
Okay, that's enough penis.
Never enough penis.
You just dropped docs on penis.
But I mean,
Maxor.
We don't use real names around here.
Maxor.
But basically, the thing is with it, my only real beef with the unit, other than its shorter lifespan, but to cover that fact, it charges up relatively quickly. It charged in 2.5 hours while I was playing the thing. So,
it charged while you were playing?
Yeah,
that's always great.
And it charged in 2.5 hours.
That's smart.
Plus, there's also a hold feature on it. You know, if you're anal retentive and you just can't be near a power supply, you can have multiple batteries. Don't give me that face. You can have multiple batteries. Put the thing on hold, take the battery out, swap them, and you don't lose any of your data. You can be in the middle of a game. Slap the hold button, switch batteries out, and keep going.
Slap.
I tend to enjoy my games that much more when I get to slap them.
Exactly. It's got a crystal clear picture presented widescreen in fashion.
I did see the Spider-Man. What resolution is that? Is that 16:9? I don't know. What's the resolution on that?
It's a goofy-ass resolution, to be honest with you.
Yeah, if you notice at the opening of the film, they actually say it has been modified from its original format to fit your screen.
Yes. I mean, actually, if you want to get a good look at the specs for the movie files on this thing, if you hit up gamefaqs.com, they have a hardware spec list on it.
Pimpin' Game Facts. Everybody loves Game Facts.
But, I mean, they give a good rundown of converting your movie files to the format that is necessary for the PSP to load it to a memory stick.
Is it hard to do?
Not terribly. It's a simple program that you pretty much run it through. It's not that bad.
Cool.
From what I was reading. Again, picture quality is very good. There's no blur to the motion, which I'd expect in a device this small. But it runs beautifully. My only beef is that depending on how the movie's encoded, the volume is relatively low. Right now I have a thing at max volume. And as long as everyone's quiet, you can hear it. But if you're in, say, I don't know, a subway train, something like that, you're going to have a hell of a time hearing it.
Yeah.
Without the earbuds.
Put the microphone up there.
I mean, that's straight up against the speaker.
Yeah, that's cool. That's awesome.
The game quality, I would say, I only purchased one game for it, Dynasty Warriors. But the game quality, I would say, is early PS2. Like I say, initial run, maybe slightly lower.
By quality, you mean what?
Graphics.
Oh, okay.
Graphic quality. They're a little bit below initial PS2 graphics.
Which still, for a handheld, is damn impressive.
Yeah, I mean, that's... You know, here's the thing. I really, really like my GBA. I enjoy it. I it's small enough. I can throw it in my pocket.
Throw up in your pocket.
I can whip it out on the train. We don't have trains, but I can whip it out on the bus.
It's nothing new for you.
And play it and it's cool. But and I saw the DS, and I wasn't entirely impressed with the DS.
No, I think the DS is a steaming pile of crap, to be honest with you. It's basically an excuse to use a touchscreen. All the games they haven't used it so far are really reaching to use that touchscreen.
Yeah, I played the little Metroid game that came with it, and I just wasn't impressed. I'm sorry. I just think that, I don't know, it just felt rushed to me. And I guess I can say some of the stuff. I used to work for one of the larger electronic chains, and I went through this a lot, and I sold so many units of the Game Boy Advance only because it's great. I mean, you can stuff a game in it, you can play it, and the great thing about it is, how do you feel with this game? Is there a point when you're playing like Dynasty Warriors and you're really involved in something, and you really have to go? In a mobile sense, like, really have to do something. And I don't mean, like, you really have to go. I mean, like, you have something going on. You're between classes or something.
Well, yeah, it's got a hold button. You slap the hold button down.
And it stops the game right where you're at.
Right where you're at.
That's amazing.
Goes
to
a minimal battery life. Turns off the screen. Whenever you click the hold button down again, it kicks right back up.
Right back where you are.
Right where you are.
So you don't have to save. It handles all that.
As long as you don't run out of battery life, yeah, you don't have to save.
Wow.
Also, the broadband capability on it, the Wi-Fi.
Yeah, we did play with that some a little bit yesterday, and I know that before too long there are going to be some apps out there that will let you war drive with this thing, because, I mean, you fired it up and turned the Wi-Fi on, and right away you saw, you know, most of the SSIDs that are available in my complex here, my apartment complex. And the only problem we had, though, was connecting to my encrypted
network.
For
some reason, it doesn't like your network at all.
Well, that's because nobody likes his network.
Yes, my SSID is Scan Me and Die. So if you you want to try, go ahead. There's only one machine. You'll be sitting outside of my apartment for months, and I will probably find you or your corpse. So good luck with that.
Bag of Frito-Lays next to the body.
All right. Do you have anything else?
Oh, I have one more beef about the unit itself.
Okay, cool.
No more penis jokes. But basically,
come on, man. You said beef. That's fair game.
Soup steak, great, good. But yeah, the problem with it is the screen has a anti-glare layer to it. The problem is it attracts fingerprints, I swear to God, like a half-price hooker on Sunday. It's bad.
And didn't you manage to actually scratch your screen within like 6 hours of buying the thing?
Yeah, but it's been in Dex's apartment, so that's understandable.
Oh, hey, my apartment is
not necessarily
moving
a friendly
on
environment.
Yeah, it's nice here.
I'm pretty sure Hazmat's going to be here soon.
Well, in this room, apparently, especially because we're not even going to get there.
Guilty party.
There were some articles of the Geneva Convention that were violated tonight.
Speaking of which.
So, that's bad radio. That's what you get with living in sin. You get
bad radio,
and you will hear us gag and vomit on the air, but we will still bring you bad radio.
You love it, you know.
I want to talk about something that I should have talked about earlier, and I didn't.
Your mom.
The track you heard earlier, was created by our own. Where are you going? Okay, have fun with that. It was created by our own Digital Ron. And why don't you talk a little bit about that? Why don't you talk about what you do, and how people can find out more about it, or what your plans are and ambitions are?
Okay. Let's see. What do I do? I don't know. What do I do?
Beyond intaking oxygen and outputting carbon dioxide.
Okay, well, as a hobby, I DJ and produce electronic music. Like, as far as making music goes, I guess one of the best ways of starting is just go and check out sites online. Futureproducers.com is one of the absolute best free sites to check out. It's an amazing repository of information. Beyond that, I'd really strongly recommend just download some free programs offline and see what you can get out of them.
Do you have any programs specifically that you'd like to recommend?
The main program that I use, it's a little bit higher priced than
free.
Than free. is a piece of software called Reason. Reason's a piece of software that's designed to look like and react the same way that real studio hardware would. Basically, you can design your own racks and program your own synthesizers and units. And yes, I said units.
And racks. And racks. You can
and
synthesize
racks
like a real studio.
Oh. But anyway, the results that you can get out of it are absolutely fantastic. The new version just came out some 12 or so days ago, and it's absolutely fantastic. Go to www.propellerheads.se and check it out.
Are the Propellerheads, are they an artist as well?
There's a band by the same name, but Propellerheads is a company based out of, I think it's Sweden or something like that.
So there's no relation between the two?
No.
Okay. Because I know the Propellerheads have a track on what? The Matrix soundtrack.
Yeah, they were really popular back towards the late 90s, you know, whenever the whole big beat fad was going on.
Yeah. We all got into that.
Oh, indeed.
Yeah, that's great. That's good. And like I said, I hope to get some more tracks from you and put them on the show and get you up here to, you know, either on the phone or to pimp your stuff. And it's great. Do you have a website or someplace people can...
Not as of now, but hopefully sometime in the very short future.
Since mp3.com,
crap,
as it once was, is completely non-existent now. Which makes me mad, because you used to be able to get some great stuff. I just lost my headphones, so I can't hear myself.
Yeah,
if only we were so fortunate.
Well, just to build off of that, yeah, it's... There are a lot of sites in which you can upload music or from which you can download music for free, but you completely just like...
I'm sorry. I apologize.
You threw me off my flow, my man. You threw me off my flow.
I know, because is it IUMA or something is a popular one that has horrible bandwidth. So it takes weeks to download things. I know Compressor is on there.
SoundClick, I believe.
Okay, yeah.
SoundClick.com is another one.
Yeah.
I'd say the main problem with that, though, although it's really easy to upload your music, what's interesting, especially with like indie bands, especially with electronic music, is there's just so many bands that it's difficult to be seen. Like... it's interesting. People that are successful are those that are able to, you know, sort of cultivate a brand for themselves and kind of market themselves to a larger audience. It's interesting to see how that's changing just a lot of how music's done at a smaller scale.
We have 20 minutes, if you're wondering.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering.
Yeah, we have 20 minutes.
Okay.
I find that you'll find community surrounded by one artist or another. Like Compressor is a great example of that. I mean, here's this guy from, I believe, Ohio, who is just making tracks and music, and it's hilarious and it's great and it's got this cult following to it. But I mean, do you ever really see any of these artists that post their stuff online? Do you ever see any of them rise out of this stuff and become signed artists or become very popular?
Well, I don't know. Like, I think on a lot of levels you do, but I think we don't know that because we really don't know too much about the artists that we do know stuff about.
Yeah.
Like, for instance, the only people if you think about it, in professional music that we know much about tend to be the lead singer, you know, front men or women, you know, to be politically correct. But, yeah, like, the only people we really know about are the front people and, you know, whether it's, like, bandmates or the people that create the backing tracks, they just kind of hang out in relative anonymity. It's kind of weird.
Like the Aerosmith effect. Everybody knows who
Steven Tyler
and, you know,
Joe
Perry are, but, you know...
Name the other two.
I can't, and if Kit was here, she would probably string me up because she knows every word to every song, and I've seen them more. I think somewhere in the teens, she's seen them that many times, and so.
I can see him 9 times.
So, all right. Anybody else have anything they want to clear the air with? And I say that, and I use that word with the biggest, widest meaning, because man, it's thick in here.
Yeah, just a bit.
Oh, I was only banned by the Geneva Conventions. Come on.
Okay, that almost made.
Yeah, sense. That. Wow. Slow down, micro machines guy. I just saw him. I don't know if it's him or someone similar to him doing a local commercial.
Yeah, I thought he died.
Well, there's a guy who talks very just as quick as he can who's doing Edgar Snyder commercials.
Interesting.
Yeah. God. Sounds just like him.
Dude, you just pimped Edgar Snyder.
I did.
Oh my
if
God.
You're hurt, get Edgaritis.
That's 266-77. Oh,
no.
266-77.
If your ass can't work.
And he gets money for you.
Yeah. There's no fees. We're probably going to get sued for that.
Why?
Not really.
I don't know.
We're advertising for him.
Yeah, we're so bad. I'm having like these back spasms. And it...
That would be the knife.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is what it sounds like when a person has back spasms.
Ow. My back. All right, we need to do something. Do you want to play some music?
Yeah, let's play some music.
Okay, what do you want to play?
I don't know. What do you got?
Well, I got lots. I got lots of stuff here.
Well, you get one of those tracks you played last night that got eaten.
Okay. Okay, we're going to do the... Do is Infinity. I'm a big J-pop fan.
And we also have to catch the attention of the underage cat girls out there.
Yeah, we got
to
do that. And I really like this track. It's the band is called Do is Infinity. The name of the track is Perfect Lady. The album is True Song. I don't know when this was released, but take a listen and enjoy it. This is Living in Sin.
front.
That's a good song.
Yeah, not bad.
That's a great band. Right now we're gonna do the side of the week.
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 Hey. Yeah, and this week it's
www.solardeathray.com.
Yes, that's Solar Death Ray. For those of you who are now deaf,
Solar Death Ray.
Should cue up the Imperial March again.
Oh yeah, that's a great idea.
Unfortunately, the folks listening can't see it, but man, that thing looks an awful lot like the gun of the Death Star.
Where is it?
I don't know.
Oh,
you
there
lost
it is.
It?
No, I didn't lose it. Yeah, here it comes. Yeah, so this thing is... Okay, here we go. About the Solar Death Ray. The Solar Death Ray is made of 112 mirrors mounted on a platform of 4 feet wide and 6 feet tall. Each mirror is a square roughly 3.5 inches on edge. All these mirrors focus on the sun into a single spot 5 feet 6 inches from the mirror platform. A wooden fork extends from the mirror base in the area near the focus and serves as a mounting point for Solar Death Ray targets. The mirror platform is mounted to the support frame on a pivot that allows the platform to be angled. The whole system is mounted on a set of wheels. This thing is...
Wow.
Oh, there's an animation that explains how it works. And it's got dots of doom. That represent photons, or light from the sun. And these things... And the stuff, like, they've got... And the mirrors are angled. Like, who put this together? It doesn't say. Does it say who put this together?
I don't know who the guy was.
I think
was,
it's on the main page, possibly.
How about why? Let's go to the why section. Why did I do this? I built the first Solar Death Ray during the summer of 2004. The original inspiration came from Rob Cockerham's extensive and funny website, cockeye.com.
What an unfortunate last name.
That poor guy. He built a mirrored parabola and array of mirrors he hoped would boil water. After I read his solar story, I started thinking about what I would have done differently. I built the...
First of all, he didn't get the whole death part right.
Yeah, and there's
the death,
death
part
in boiling
is
water.
Critical in the formulation of Death Ray!
And,
Death Ray!
So he's got pictures... He's got pictures on here of stuff that he's successfully melted.
My personal favorite is the marshmallow peeps.
Marshmallow peeps are... oh, that's funny. Chocolate bunny looks good because when you're done, it looks like shit on the sidewalk.
the box is on fire.
And the bunny's like falling to his doom. And then here's his one eye. Here's a picture of his eye. That is so fitting.
Oh,
you know
man.
What? It's too bad. Well, I guess
we can't really show them directly.
No, but it's better than I guess than a chocolate crucifix.
Yeah, go look, kids. Go look. That's cool.
Yeah, and let's see what else is on here. An Oreo cookie, some sunglasses,
golf ball,
army men, golf ball, crayons,
record.
Take a look at some crayons. Ah, oh, it's another one. I like things that are like gooped up on the ground.
You like syphilis?
Dex likes goop.
Yeah, that's good stuff. This is great. My pants. See what happens to the pants. Yes, they burn to a crisp. This is insane. Like, this is a science project gone wrong. I could just see.
I think we need to build one and do our own tests before the next broadcast.
Mr. Wizard.
This is
my nation lends its lonely eyes.
Oh, speaking of Mr. Wizard, did you know Bill Nye is coming back? He's making
for
a
real?
New show. Yeah. And it's going to be, it's like an adult, not an adult oriented, like chicken mama kind of thing.
And
but
now we're going to take Susie's pants off.
But he's going to talk about real issues like suicide and...
like teaching people how to
chemical castration and
it's
things
like
that.
People, this is what you're doing wrong.
Like STDs and things. Like, he's going to talk about real science. It's meant for teenagers and tweens.
Yeah.
This thing reminds me of I can't remember what the site was, but a long time ago there was using Pop-Tarts as an alternative fuel source
in a toaster. Yeah,
fantastic.
That's fantastic.
And it was actually written up like an eighth grade science fair project, and we tried it, and
it
worked.
Created a good 3 or 4 foot tall flame out of the toaster.
Are you serious?
Yeah,
dead serious.
I wish I could remember the site.
I can tell you how it was done.
Well, then go ahead.
Well, first you need a toaster that doesn't have the automatic shut-off fuse in it.
Or you can just tape the handle down.
Well, no, even then, there's some
of them, duct tape.
There are some of them that have a fuse that'll blow out once a certain temperature is reached.
Oh, so okay, you got to go.
That's why
one
flame
from
wasn't so good.
You got to get one from like the dollar store or something.
Yeah, you need a ghetto toaster.
Or get one from your local thrift store or something.
So what you do is you put your Pop-Tarts in it, preferably the frosted ones. They work the best.
Extra fuel.
Yeah, you slam the sucker down, tape it down so it stays in the down position.
Back
the hell away. After about a good, two minutes, 3 minutes? Is that about all it took?
It's something like that, yeah.
Because the thing is, we used the non-frosted ones the first time we tried it, and all it did was a blob of melted jelly in the bottom of the toaster, and it really didn't do anything. But the frosted ones will incinerate, and they create beautiful flames for about a good 4 or 5 minutes. They actually even smell good.
That's amazing.
Take this as common sense, but, well, you know, there is no such thing as common sense anymore. Obviously, do not do this with the family toaster, because the toaster will not be usable once you're done.
Yeah, don't do that.
Don't do it indoors.
Yeah, if you're thinking about doing
this. Don't do it in the rain.
Don't do it right now while you're listening to the show. If you can hear my voice and you're plugging a toaster into something.
Stop it.
Stop.
You little bastard. Stop it.
Yes.
We take no responsibility for anything that's done.
Yeah, this ain't our fault.
Forgive us, for we know not what we do.
We eat the crosses.
Hey, we're just the messengers. Well, I think that's going to do it. We've reached the 55-minute mark.
Oh, if your mother only knew.
And we do, yes, if you want to announce the closing song.
Okay, this is another one of my little bands that I'm inordinately fond of. It's a group out of New England called Scissor Kiss. They're a little goth band. Truthfully, I don't even know if they're still together, because on the website they refer to themselves in the past tense, so that's usually not a good sign. But I really enjoy the hell out of them. So the song we got coming up is, I think it's off their first EP. It's called Reckoning.
All right. This has been the first ep of Living in Sin. If you have questions or comments about the show, please feel free to email us at livinginsin@gmail.com.
You might want to spell that.
It's living in S-Y-N. Thank you for putting that out there, boy.
Pop onto my blog. And you forgot to make fun of me for having a blog.
Oh.
Ha-ha.
Blog. All right, anyway, we're out of here.
I wish I had a blog.
You can. Anyone can have a blog. It's just a matter of updating it.
And filling out the paperwork.
Yeah, anybody can do it. He's got a... Anyway. All right, this has been Living in Sin.
I want to write bad poetry and put it on my...
Yeah, I've got some.
The pilot. So have fun at Nauticon. Enjoy the rest of the con. I'm sure there was something better played before this, and I'm sure there's something better played after.
Actually, I'm pretty sure I know what's next.
But we may be back in 2 weeks, so...
What's playing next, Largo?
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. We do know the next show. It's Slapnuts McGee and the Holy Trinity Choir.
Oh, yeah, that's great. I saw those guys live in Fallen's. I got nothing. All right, we're out of here. This is Pieces. No, wait. This is Reckoning by Scissor Kiss. And later. Yeah.
Jesus Christ.